The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're going to be talking about the Institute for Family Health. They are one of the largest community health centers in New York State, serving over 115,000 patients. And they provide medical care, behavioral health care, dental, and a whole lot of other services, regardless of an individual or individuals or family's ability to pay. And we have with us a guest who knows all about it. And she is Susanna Callahan. She's Vice President for Planning and Community Engagement for the Mid-Hudson Region at the Institute for Family Health. And she is responsible for developing and expanding programs and activities that promote the Institute's goals and for strengthening relationships with community leaders and organizations. And she also manages a portfolio of grants that focus on the Mid-Hudson region. And I have to say that I've worked many years alongside Susanna on many different projects, and from opioids to all kinds of health outcomes and health indicators. And she is a terrific community partner, as is the Institute itself and all of her colleagues. So welcome, Susanna.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's good to have you. So Susanna, let's start by telling our listeners a little bit about what a federally qualified health center is, since I'm sure the average person on the street does not know that.
Sure. And that honestly is really interesting to me, that one of the largest health center, or one of the largest federally legislated programs in our country, is so little, is not known by most people in the United States. Although I think that is changing now. But federally qualified health centers are often referred to as FQHCs. They're community-based healthcare providers that receive funds from the federal government, from the department, something called HRSA, Health Resources Services Administration, to provide primary care services in underserved areas across the country. They, to become a federally qualified health center, an organization must meet a stringent set of requirements, including providing care to all people based on ability to pay or a sliding fee scale if people don't have health insurance. And very interestingly, we FQHCs must operate under a governing board that includes patients. So there are a number of different types of FQHCs. The most, the one that we see the most are community health centers, which is what the Institute is, but HRSA also funds migrant health centers, healthcare for the homeless health centers, and also health centers for residents of public housing. The Institute is a community health center. Mm-hmm. And I can tell a little bit, and I think it'd be interesting actually for listeners to talk a little bit about the history of FQHCs.
That would be great. That was going to be my next question.
So yeah, it's very interesting. There's actually been books written about the start of the FQHC movement. So they started over 50 years ago during the civil rights era, when community health and civil rights activists fought to improve the lives of Americans who were steeped in poverty and who were in desperate need of health care. And the father of community health center movement, or one of the founders, is a man named Dr. Jack Geiger. He passed away about a year ago, but he and some other activists wanted to replicate the community health center model that he saw firsthand when he was a young doctor working in South Africa. So back in the 50s and 60s, he and other activists submitted proposals and submitted proposals to a federal agency that was called the Office of Economic Opportunity to turn these neighborhood clinics into a federally legislated program. So in 1965, the first funding came through for two health centers, one in Boston and one in rural Mississippi. So that's the origin of the community health center program. And now fast forward to 2021, there are now about 1,200 organizations with the designation of FQHC across this great land, in all areas of the United States, rural areas on the border with Mexico, in urban centers, Alaska, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Hawaii, and about 13,000 service delivery sites. And again, they serve together, about 30 million Americans are served at FQHCs across the country.
Wow, so that's great.
It is great. And interestingly too, it is one of the few federally legislated programs that has enjoyed bipartisan support for decades and decades. As I always say, doesn't matter if you're blue state or red state, there are people who are low income, people who are underserved, people who get sick.
Well, isn't it amazing that, you know, this sounds like around the same time as the Johnson administration when the Voting Rights Act was passed and a lot of the civil rights legislation.
The time period when it all
followed
started.
Shortly thereafter by all of the major pieces of environmental legislation, which were also presented as nonpartisan, that everyone has an interest in clean air and clean water and a healthy environment. And don't we wish we had that same kind of regard for, you know, the unity and collective good of our fellow citizens?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I've heard stories that in the early days of the community health center movement, that people were used federal, they used their resource to actually buy food for people who didn't have food. So because as the doctors who worked in community health centers in like the very deep poor rural South at that time, the biggest problem was malnourishment. Mm-hmm. So the medicine was food. So they bought people, their patients, food.
Mm-hmm. I remember as a child, you know, we had family in Florida and we drive down to Florida through some, you know, areas in the South of extreme rural poverty. And it was kind of like another planet, from coming from the New York metro area, you know, seeing just the widespread, you know, poverty and people living in really terrible circumstances, you know, in terms of their homes falling down and, you know, and some of these towns that were no services of any kind. So it's great that legislation and this movement came to fruition in such an amazing way. And so, what about the Institute itself? Can you tell us about how it got started and who was involved and so on?
Sure, I will. And before, I just want to mention a few of the other requirements to become an FQHC.
Sure.
I think that's really important too for listeners to understand also like the difference between an FQHC, say, in a private physician practice. So, what we have to provide, offer sliding fee scale to people who earn less than 200% of the federal poverty level, something you don't really find in private physician practices. We must be governed, I mentioned this before, by a board that is comprised mostly of patients, again, which is not what you find in for-profit healthcare.
Which is amazing. Wish we had that in the private sector.
I know. And we actually, the Institute has 11 people currently on its board of directors, and six of them are patients, including several people from Ulster County and then people from our other sites, which I'll talk about soon. But we also FQHCs must be located in or serve medically underserved communities. And for folks who might not really know what that means, it could mean, where there's a large percentage of people who are uninsured, perhaps a large number of people who are in poverty, who are immigrants, perhaps really rural areas where there's a large number of people who are homeless or housing insecure, and other kinds of medically underserved communities can be, where there's a lack of mental health, where there's high substance use disorders, and even other populations that are considered underserved are those dealing with comorbidity. So somebody who has mental health and a chronic disease. Mm-hmm. So those are examples of medically underserved populations and communities that FQHCs serve. And we also are required by HRSA, to provide a pretty specific set of primary and preventative services. So we're not specialty, you know, we're not a specialty organization, although we can provide some specialty services. It's about primary care, so preventative services. Uh-huh. So that those are the kind of some of the key things.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. You can get into some of those details. But we have just about a minute and a half before the break. So can you just give us a quick overview of how the Institute for Family Health got started?
Absolutely. So the Institute was started in New York City in 1983 by two physicians, a psychologist and a nurse practitioner. And they were very like-minded to the earlier civil rights activists and believed that there was still tremendous need for community-driven healthcare in low-income and racially diverse communities. So in the early days, the Institute worked closely with community groups and housing organizations to build health centers predominantly in the Bronx. And the founders were also very interested in training the next generation of family physicians, because we are a family medicine-based organization. So training the next generation of family physicians to be better prepared to work in underserved communities. And one of the founders, Dr. Neil Kalman, continues to serve as the Institute's president and CEO since 1983.
That's really terrific. And we want to find out so much more. It sounds like a wonderful organization and a wonderful movement that helped create it. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
At WMC Health, we know emergencies don't wait, and neither should our patients. That's why we pledge to see you within 30 minutes or less at Health Alliance on Broadway in Kingston and at Margaretville Hospital on Route 28 in Margaretville. Our emergency departments offer safe and protective environments and are backed by the full services of our WMC Health Network hospitals, right there if you need more care. If you have an emergency, please call 911 or go to the emergency room closest to you.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today we're taking a look at the Institute for Family Health, one of the largest community health centers in New York State. They serve many, many patients at many locations, and they are located right here in Ulster County. And our guest is Susanna Callahan, and she's Vice President of Planning and Community Engagement for the Mid-Hudson Region at the Institute for Family Health. Susanna, before the break, we were talking about how the federally qualified healthcare movement got started. We were talking a little bit about the history of the Institute for Family Health. Would you like to elaborate a little bit more on that history and then go Sure. into an overview of Absolutely. What services are available?
Sure. So when the Institute was started, we were called the Institute for Urban Family Health because we were our sites and services and programs were only located in New York City. And then in 2007, the Institute assumed ownership and operation of what was formerly known as the Mid-Hudson Family Health Institute. And we started operating all the health centers in Ulster County that were formerly operated by the Mid-Hudson Family Health Institute, as well as one health center in Dutchess County. So we just knocked off the urban from our name. And so we now now operate 30 sites total in New York City. So Bronx, Manhattan, including Harlem and Lower Manhattan, one in Brooklyn, and six sites in Ulster County and Dutchess County. So in Ulster County, we run the Ellenville Family Health Center, New Paltz Family Health Center, a health center in Port Ewan, the Kingston Family Health Center, and the OBGYN and Specialty Care Center in Kingston. And so the Institute, actually, we became an FQHC, just to note, we didn't start off being one, but we were established as one in 2001. And I would say what is special about the Institute, although all community health centers, there's a saying in the movement that when you've seen one community health center, you've seen one community health center, because they're all different. Mm-hmm. And they serve different communities. They provide a different array of programs and services in addition to the required ones by HRSA. And the Institute, I guess, we're very mission driven. You know, we really believe in being as patient-centered as possible and really trying as best as we can to address the needs of the communities we serve. And all of our programs and services really do align with our mission. So at the very centerpiece, of course, are healthcare services, which I can get into, and medical, mental health, dental, and supportive services. We also operate a number of special programs for special populations. So we have Healthcare for the Homeless program in New York City, in Ulster County and Dutchess County. We operate the Healthy Families Home Visiting Programs, it's an evidence-based national program to prevent child abuse and promote healthy families. Other sort of special populations, we run a number of school-based health centers. We really are committed, Vin, as you know, to addressing the opioid crisis, especially in Ulster County, and provide medication-assisted treatment to people with opioid use disorders. And we also have special programs for the LGBTQ population. So those are just some examples of those programs. And then I think perhaps what makes us the most unique in New York State is our commitment to education and training. So we run 3 family medicine residency training programs, 2 in New York City and 1 in Ulster County at the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley. And that one actually, I think, has become our largest one. We train 30 physicians a year there, which is a lot. And many of these graduating family docs stay on and work with us at one of our sites, which is really terrific. And we also were one of the first grantees actually from HRSA to start a nurse practitioner residency program. So it's similar to a family medicine residency program, but it's a 1-year residency for nurse practitioners. And we're working hard to try to bring that program up to Ulster County as well.
Yeah, that would really be terrific. I mean, and what better place for a young aspiring doctor to get educated, right, in a community healthcare center where they're going to be seeing almost the whole spectrum of conditions and really, you know, probably a lot of chronic disease conditions that have been exacerbated by lack of care or lack of preventative care and so on. So it's a great environment.
We think so. And we've gotten good reports on our nurse practitioner residency. The graduates have been staying on with us too afterwards too, which is really great. Mm-hmm. And, we also engage, in community outreach and advocacy. And I always say that, the Institute, like all community health centers, our success is only due to our relationships and that relationship building with whether it's the Department of Health in Ulster County or community leaders, elected officials, community organizations of all kinds, but certainly organizations that provide services that augment the services that we provide, because I think it's pretty much well known now that the social determinants of health, so housing, food security or insecurity, access to, appropriate educational opportunities, all of these things, clean water, clean air, make a lot more difference in our well-being than medical care.
And I know that we're involved in so many different coalitions because we look at, as a county health department, we look at community wellness and sustainability as a, involving all of those areas. And I know I see you at almost all of those coalition meetings and your medical director here in Ulster County, Dr. Woodley, is our chair of our board of health, which is really terrific. And, we honestly couldn't do it without great community partners like the Institute, because, the era of government doing it alone is long gone. It shouldn't be just government. It really needs to be the entire community, every sector. That's how I think you get the best results and the best, ongoing buy-in. So, Susanna, are there any particular programs or innovative services that you'd like to highlight that you and your staff are particularly proud of?
I don't know that I've completely talked about the services in Ulster County, especially, but, medical care, we talked a little bit about. I do want to point out that family medicine does provide certain, full spectrum, perinatal services to women. And so we do provide women's health services at all of our, pretty much all of our sites. We do a lot of care for people with chronic conditions, which is pretty common, I think, in the United States right now. So people with diabetes, asthma, hypertension. One thing we haven't talked about, which is really, I think, which I've seen from what I've seen of the data on community health centers across the state and country, we provide a lot of mental health services, a lot. In fact, I think we currently employ more mental health staff than we do medical staff.
And such an urgent need. I mean, not only during COVID times, but just in general. I mean, mental health has always gotten, in my opinion, and I guess the opinion of the public health community, has always been underfunded and underrepresented.
Right. It's a workforce issue too. Mm-hmm. There aren't enough people, being trained as mental health professionals. And I think, it's also a really tough job, but we do have mental health services at all of our sites, even if it's a part-time person. And then some folks might know that at Kingston Family Health Center, we run a large mental health program there. We have social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists.
That's really great.
Yeah.
That's
and then really dental great. Services also. So all these services are, based on the ability to pay. Mm-hmm. If you don't have insurance, it's a sliding fee scale. And we have dental services, which are often overlooked, especially for low income, underserved communities. We have a large dental practices in Ellenville and Kingston. And I think the other thing that is unique to FQHCs and what you don't often find or rarely find in private physician practices are the supportive services. So, the saying that build it and they will come, it's not really true. We know there are lots of barriers to care that people face.
Absolutely.
And so we have a large team of care case managers and care navigators who help people with insurance enrollment, housing, food insecurity, getting referrals for specialty care, cancer screenings. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, before we run out of time, I'd like you to talk to us a little bit about, I know there's an exciting new facility going up in Midtown Kingston, and what that means for the residents of that community in Ulster County. And then also, we have about a minute left. So if you could also tell our listeners how they can find out more information and get in touch.
Sure. So we're really excited. We're opening up a new health center at 140 Pine Street. Next week, we're having a groundbreaking ceremony because we're building this from the ground up. It will take about a year. So we anticipate opening summer of 2022 or the fall. It is going to be a beautiful space with mental health, medical, and supportive services. A quarter of the space is designated as community space. So we'll be meeting with community groups towards the end of the year to start talking about community needs for space and how we can integrate those needs into a health center, hopefully much more wellness programming and groups.
And Midtown Kingston has some of the poorest health outcomes in the entire county. So to have it be right there and in walking distance is great.
And we didn't talk about it. We didn't have time, but the COVID Institute was a really critical player in the COVID response in Ulster County. We continue to do testing and provide vaccines to patients. Mm-hmm. That's available. The other thing in terms of access, telehealth, lots of our services are now available, medical and mental health, through telehealth. So whether computer or telephone, and that's going to continue. So also breaking down some of those barriers.
And general contact information.
Contact information, www.institute.org. Mm-hmm. General phone number for medical visits to go right to the call center is 212-206-5200. There are numbers on the website for individual health center sites, but it will bring them to the call center. Dental visits are made on dental appointments on the website. And I just want to say, if people want to email me with any questions about the Institute or programs, feel free, scallahan@institute.org. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Well, that's so great. I mean, and I wish we had more time, and that we always run out of time when we have a terrific topic and a wonderful guest such as yourself. So Susanna, thank you and your colleagues for all of the amazing work that you do on behalf of our community.
Yes, thank you.
It's really valuable. You're welcome so much.
And thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.